Wednesday afternoon, Lady Shear and Clevis Aldovas were doing Shaggy Chut HaMaisa. We're in Parakei. This is Wednesday, Lamed Beis Ba'Omer, or Liyud Ches Iyar. Okay, Yeshikaya, thank you. Like I said, you know, the problem is we may end up liking this, and then... Okay.
No.
Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Kavit Albamus, Perek Hay, the fifth Perek, is giving us a guided tour of the wiles of the Yetzer Hara. Uh-huh. And I hope we get to the part when, after he depresses us totally, he says, but don't get depressed. So if we don't get to that part today, it's coming. It's coming. Every word here is gold, is a diamond, yes, and deserves a speech in itself. And I wish I was capable. You know, I do my best, but a more eloquent speaker, a more. There's so much here. It's again the beginning of Parakei. We haven't gotten very far, and you're very kind. But my mother told me not to lie. Okay.
My mother taught me the same.
We're in the first couple of lines where he has so many phrases about what the Yetzer Hara does, and we're going to go back a bit, and meaning what we already did last week, because I want to rant about something. And the words are Lovesh Lecha Bigdei Hayedidus, he dresses up like your friend. It's a poetic phrases, meaning he looks like a friend, and he's miskashet himself in things that he looks like your ohev,
yeah,
someone that likes you very much. Now, you know what that means? Besides that you don't realize it's evil, and again, it's like, I don't know where you draw the line. I understand the question. I don't know the answer. But he's talking about here, I realize, this is what I wanted to talk about. Again, I know from a man's perspective. Again, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'm a man. And you have the imperative, we have the imperative of learning in our spare time. And it's an ol. And what do people say to themselves? But it's universally applicable to any time you have to go out and do a chesed or anything. You start giving yourselves reasons. And nowadays, and this is what the Yetzer Hara is mislabesh, you say, it's not good for me. Like, he's your friend. I'm worried about you. I want to take care of you. You have to sleep a little more. You have to take care of yourself first. Your kids will have a better mommy if you watch out for yourself first. The reason this is so difficult is because people do need vacations, they do need downtimes, and sometimes it's true, but at least we're forewarned, and that's what the Chavis Halvavis is telling us, that part of the game plan of the Yetzer Hara is to look like your friend, meaning it's for your own good. He doesn't tell you to rebel against Hashem. He rarely attacks so frontally, not to a from person who already believes in Hashem. He rarely starts off attacking and saying, Hashem, you don't always listen. You know, you need some downtime from Hashem. He wouldn't be so bold. He would lose that. Chas v'shalom. But if he puts it in terms of bettering the relationship, or in terms of you need X, Y, Z, and he says it's good for you, and Hashem wants you to take care of yourself, you know, those are the type of things. So you have to be very, as I say, there's no getting around that a person has to develop, and I said this many times, and I said that I said it many times, already many times, there's no getting around that a person has to develop the skill of being introspective, and objective, and if you realize that you can't, so you talk it over with someone who will, a friend, it has to be, it could be a Rav, it could be a friend, it has to be a very good friend that has your interests at heart, because that's also a dangerous thing, because people see things through the prism of their own experiences, and it may not be a good Rav. Tries, is supposed to see things objectively. If everybody talks through the perspective of their own experiences and how they view the world, it really, it's not good. The idea of Das Torah, in my view, there is such a thing, there is definitely such a concept, and a major part of the concept is to be objective. An objective view, not something that's baggage of the person talking, of the Rav, or, you know, not baggage because of the way he sees the world. It's supposed to not be like that. It's supposed to be a genderless. It's really supposed to be through your perspective. He's supposed to get into your head and your kishkes and see things the way you see them, and then say, oh, like, you have a skewered view of whatever it is you're seeing. Yeah.
Can the gates of Hara also push you to do too much?
The gates of...
Can the gates also push the other way and say, you should be giving Hesed, you should do this, and you should do that. And so by the time you push yourself to do all of that, you end up collapsed and resentful. I mean, doesn't it also...
Yes, and L'Chavis HaLolos, I'll tell you which words he uses to tell us that he does that sometimes. The million-dollar question. He can't do more, you know, life is life. He can't do more than warn you not to be lulled. See, most people don't even think. That's really why the Chavis HaLolos is so valuable. Because most people don't even think. They just bob through life, and whatever thoughts come into their heads, they follow. And whatever urges they have, they follow. And, you know, if it's an urge for a cheeseburger, or an urge for an ice cream, and they know they just ate meat 2 hours ago, so yeah, they can withstand that. But anything more subtle than that is a battle. What you mentioned, he'll bring it up. He'll say that. He'll bring it up. Well, it's included in what he says that he... It's included in this, that he tries to be a friend. Yes, the answer to your question is yes. That he tries to tire you out, and then, you know, if you do too much. So that, and that's why a person shouldn't do that much. Too much. It's tough. It's tough out there. You know, that's why Perek Hay is an almost impossible Perek to do justice to. It's the whole story of the Eitz Hara. A person has to set red lines. Well, you know, maybe we'll just read the words and I'll expand on them, and some of you are taking notes, and at least you're alert. That's what he says. His main purpose is to alert you. He can't every case is different. Just like in Bitachon, two people can do the exact same thing, and one's a Baal Bitachon, Baal Aus Bitachon, and the other person is terrible. Kochi Votzim Yodi. And they're doing the same thing. So that's why it's called Chovos Halavos. He can only alert you that realize that this is a trick up the sleeve of the Yetzer Hara, so don't fall for it. And halavai, we should be holding by recognizing what's happening and not being sure what's the truth. Because 90% of the time, in my experience with people, and with my experience with myself, but we don't talk about that publicly. 90% of the time, people just, oh, I need the break. I need this, I need that. And it's right away. Halavai, we would at least recognize that, oh, the Yetzer Hara, you remember that phrase, the Yetzer Hara makes believe he's your friend. He puts on the levushim, he wears the clothing, and he speaks the language of a friend. So at least you'll rethink it twice. Do I really need it? Is it really the right thing? Maybe I should talk it over with someone. Or at least think it over yourself. And if you reach a conclusion, no, I'm pretty sure that I do need this. Okay, call a kabod. I mean, call a kabod. You do your best. Believe me, it's like when I learn Shaar Bitochon sometimes, so the questions are, you know, you're very intelligent women, so you know, the questions are subtleties and what about in such a case, you know, 90% of life is not the subtleties. Let's be aware, if we could just internalize that Hashem runs the world, and here just internalize that He will sometimes do that, half the battle's won, just that recognition. Okay, so he talks about dressing up like your friend. V'nichnas b'chlal ne'emonecha v'anshei atzoscha, he becomes your advisor, and your inner circle. I'm not trying to describe it. It's in the beginning, and every word is uskulas ohavecha bedakus mirmoso, with the subtlety of a very wily person. Right? I mean, especially nowadays with all these magazines. You need this emotionally, you need this for your psychological health, for your mental health, for your emotional health, you need this to further a relationship, you need. I would like to say something cute, but I don't know if it's true. Like, if you find you say you're saying the word I too often, that's a danger sign. Rotzel Ritzoncha Benira Mirimi Rotzel Ritzoncha, he worms his way into it being your will. Benira Mirimizosov Ukritzosov. Like a wink. You don't realize it's an outer voice talking to you because it's in you, and it's just a shift. He can get you angry, pushes the right buttons. For humore oscha, and really he's, if you can have this imagery, it would be great. And really, he's shooting arrows at you, poisoned arrows. Hamamisim l'sharoshcha me'eretz chayim, to uproot you from the source of life. So you think he's being your friend, and you think you're doing something positive, and really, he wants to disconnect you, and it's negative. K'mo shomer ha'kosov b'mi she'inyono kach, someone who acts like that is a pasuk in Mishlei. Kimisalhe hayore zikim chitzim umoves, someone shooting arrows, and kain ish rima esriyehu, you fool someone, you put one over on them, you hoodwink someone, v'omer lo masachik ani, I'm just kidding, and really you're shooting arrows at the person. So he doesn't look like he's your enemy, but he is. Okay, now Chavis Halvavus says, period. Now he has this imagery of the arrows. So one arrow is that he looks like he's your friend. Now he says another powerful statement. Umin hachazak shebishluchav, one of the most powerful weapons in his arsenal, asher yore oscha, with he shoots at you, the yilcham oscha bohem, and he's fighting you with them, because it's a battle. He's your biggest enemy, remember? Okay. Worse than Hitler, Yimach Shemo. Worse than Haman. He's the biggest enemy you can think of. He's worse. V'yilochem oschem b'matzpun in yoncha. He worms his way into your subconscious, into your whatever part of your kishkes is your motivator. She'yishtadel l'sapek olecha amitoscha. This is a very sneaky thing he does. You're sure of your principles, you're sure of your values, you have a mahalach in life, and you do your best to live up to it. So he knows, says the Chayyus Halvavus, he knows, if, again, a frontal attack is not going to work. Because it's enough for him to throw a shadow of doubt and say, you know, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's a low kedai. I see other people living a certain way. Why do I have to be different for? Maybe it's just too much. Maybe it's not for me. I mean, there could be different levels. You could have someone you know, I have not been zochet to be a Baal Tshuva, but I would imagine in the process of becoming one, there are times when you say to yourself, yeah, I you know, I'm giving up so much, I'm giving up my whole life, and I'm alienating so many people, and I'm going into a new world where I'm a stranger. I imagine that's what it certainly seems like and is that way, at least in the beginning for sure, the first few decades. And you know, and then you get, you know, maybe it's not, many truths, and who said this is for sure true, and everybody claims to be true, and that's what he does. He won't make a frontal attack. He'll try to shake you up. Ulashabesh mashin is bar lecha. He just, so there's another thing he does. Like, if you're making a list, recognize this. Sometimes it's enough for him, and it works. It's a very good strategy, because if you would frontally attack and say no, so you would right away reject the idea. So he makes you masupik. What happens if he makes you masupik? He takes away your enthusiasm. He takes away your clarity. This is a very important point. You've developed a certain clarity, and he tries to shake you up on it. And the reason this is confusing sometimes is because as a person grows and steigs, you have to reach new levels of clarity, right? If I learn what davening means on a very simple level, and I reach a degree of clarity on the simple meaning of the words, as if I'd be learning it in school and I'm in 10th grade and they're just teaching me what the words mean, and then I want to do more, and davening is so much more than the meaning of the words, so then I'm entering, right, I again have to attain a whole new clarity, right, a clarity in the deeper meaning of the words. So you're always striving for clarity, or maybe it's in davening is just an example, maybe it's in the clarity of what you want to do with your life, or the clarity of serving Hashem. And as you know, there's a statement in the Gemara that seems to be amazing on its face. It says, whoever is greater has a bigger Yetzirah. Kala gadol mechaveiro, Yitzro gadol heimenu. So, I mean, different pshatim, and what does it mean? And it's clear. It means because in any discipline it's that way. It would be that way in math also, in physics also, in chemistry also. Certainly it's that way in Torah when I learn a Gemara or a Chumash. You have clarity on a certain level, and then as you get more sophisticated, you're sort of regressing, and that's a weak moment. The Yetzirah pounces because you, all of a sudden, like, I thought I knew what Hashem did those first 6 days. Right? Because you learned it like a kid in second grade. And then all of a sudden, somebody told you, oh, you got to see this Ramban. And, oh, man. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. And then the Yetzirah pounces. He pounces on lack of clarity. And then you start thinking, well, maybe it didn't really happen that way. And maybe, you know, and he could get you, because he's not saying it's not true. This is a very deep point the Chavis HaLovis is making. To make you be in doubt, to make you lack clarity, to make you think, well, maybe it's not that important, as long as I'm a good person, maybe. Now, yeah.
Isn't that what Amalek did
with the Suffolk? Right, Suffolk, right, good. Now, the way, he doesn't tell you what to do about it. It's not always, you can do one of two things. Again, he doesn't give us solutions. He does later on in the parak. But now he's just talking, like, you can do one of two things. You could develop a clarity. Realize that you need a clarity. I'm going to say two opposite things. They're going to sound like I'm contradicting each other, and I am. You could do two different things. and sometimes you do one, sometimes you do the other. One is to work at attaining a clarity. Don't realize that you're weak. If you don't have clarity, you're weak. It really is the same thing. Realize you're weak, and there's a realize that's a moment of weakness. And the you see the Yetzirah, he says it's the most powerful, one of the most powerful weapons in his arsenal is to make you not be sure about what you're doing. Because then he could say, well, you're not really sure what you're doing anyway, so why don't you, and why don't you, so you either make sure you develop clarity, don't let him do that, don't let the Yetzirah do that. You know, if you would be talking to him, you would say, you know, like one of the most frustrating things when I'm giving shir, and I say a chiddush, and I say something, some thought, so someone raises their hand and says, yeah, but maybe it's not like that. Then I want to wring his neck. Because I say, if you have a problem with it, if you say it's illogical, you know, force him to have clarity. Don't let him say, but maybe not. That's, you know, you want to do something, and there's naysayers, and they say, yeah, but maybe you'll fail, and maybe it's not a good idea. Don't accept that. That's just throwing cold water on your enthusiasm. Confront them, say, tell me what your objections are. Well, is it illogical? Fine. Tell me why you think it's illogical, and I'll try to show you why it is logical. If you have a raya, proof that it's wrong, tell me the proof. Maybe I'll admit you're right, and maybe I'll be able to answer the proof, the seeming proof. Don't let, but maybe not. That's just a downer in a class. You ever give a class and someone says, but maybe not? It's just a downer. So don't let that happen. And ironically, I know it sounds contradictory, but don't be afraid of the doubt. Meaning, okay, it's a good point. So let me attain clarity. Don't give up just because everybody has doubts. I said, about Tshuva, I'm sure it would be, I don't know, it would be not. Of course he has doubts, because so much is happening. And Kol Shekein, and if you're about Tshuva, you don't believe me, but it's for sure true. Kol Shekein, what we call FFB, who never thought about these things. So then, certainly, it's easy to make him or her doubt, because they never thought about these things. So all you have to do is say, how do you know Hashem created the world? It's much easier to throw doubt when no one ever thought about those things before. So the thing is to do is don't give up. Don't run away from doubt. It's not the end of the world. Everybody has doubts. And the thing to do is don't leave it. Don't leave it. Try to attain clarity. Realize that, in other words, it's dangerous to have doubt. But realize it's normal, and that it's a spur to attain clarity. I just said a chiddush last night in a shir. I said, I'm going to tell it over to you. I'll try to cut out the learning part. Someone asked a very good question. We're learning a certain sefer. Sometimes, I think it's relevant. I'm going to say it because it's so serendipitous that this happened last night. We're learning a sefer. It's called Shef Shmaitza, and you know, there's things that are usher and things that are mutter, and sometimes you have a doubt. You don't know if this is kosher or not. It's much more sophisticated than that, because what do you mean you don't know? So call up Rabbi Milano, it's an asker. But don't matter, like you really don't know. Something got mixed up with two other things, you don't know. You don't know. It's like it's a doubt that is a certain level of reality. It's a doubtful situation. Not just you don't know. So the Torah gives us ways of dealing with this. You might have heard of the expression Safek Dioraisa Lechumra. If it's a doubt in a prohibition that's prohibited by Torah law, then you have to be machmir, you have to go to Chumra. If it's a Safek Drabanon, you go to Kula. And then there are legal rules to deal with doubts. You might have heard some of these words, Rove, Chazaka. There's different rules that the Torah says you can follow the majority and assume it's kosher. You find a piece of meat, there's 10 stores there, 9 of the stores sell kosher meat, 1 store sells not kosher meat, you find a piece of meat in the street, if you can imagine such a thing, so you're allowed to assume it's kosher, it came because it's the majority. You have majority and you have rules of chazokah, which means following the status quo, if you're not sure. There's different rules how to deal with sfeikos. And many of the rules are not necessarily logical, or not at all logical. It's not logical that you indeed have now found out what it is. It's just rules to follow. Like, how do I deal with uncertainty? So there's rules, follow the majority. The majority is not necessarily logical. It's just statistics. It's not even statistics. Even two witnesses come and tell you something. It's not necessarily logical that they're telling the truth. Although there you might say, okay, that's logical that two people are telling the truth. But all the rules of the Torah, how to deal with a suffake, are not logical. They're legal. They're legal rules of how to deal with suffake. Follow this rule, follow that rule. So the person, and we've been learning that for the last year. So last night someone asked me the following question, and it's very interesting. He said, if you have a rule that sofek d'oraisa, you go l'chumra, that if you don't know what to do, so why does the Torah give you rules that don't clarify the truth? And you're supposed to follow those rules. And when the rules don't apply, so then you have to do sofek d'oraisa l'chumra, or sofek d'rabbanon, you can go l'kula, you can be lenient. Why does the Torah give you a set of rules that are not logical? They're just legal rules. So why does the Torah do that? Just leave it that you'll be machmir, or you'll be mekil. Why does it give you ways of dealing with the sofek that are not really clarifiers? They're just legal rules. Follow this, follow that, follow the majority. Right? You understand the question?
It's nice to say, why isn't it clear to begin with? Why is it just giving you rules to deal with that?
No, you don't know. You don't know. You have a piece of meat, you don't know what it is. And you have reason to doubt what it is. Someone checked it and you don't know. You have reason to think you didn't do a good job. So there's rules to follow.
Right.
And when the rules don't apply, so you say, okay, if it's a Torah issue, I have to go chumrah, and if it's a non-Torah issue, did I lose everyone yet?
No.
So the person asked a really, I enjoyed the question so much. It was a very deep question. It's a very penetrating question. It's a very understanding question. It means he understands all the dynamics. And he said, so why does the Torah do that? In other words, why does it give you rules that, if you tell me the rules are confront you with reality, they say the reality is that it's kosher. But it obviously doesn't do that, right? It just tells you what to assume. You may assume it's kosher because there's rov. You may assume it's not kosher because of this. But if so why does it do that for? Why doesn't you do have a rule that governs what to do when you don't know? So then why give you rules to follow when you really still don't know? You really still don't know. And it was a very good question. And Hashem, I used to sit in school, and I went to high school. And I guess some things got stuck to the wall there. So I remember, there's a thing that something doesn't like uncertainty. Anybody can help me with that? In chemistry, maybe, or in physics.
Right.
Something in nature doesn't like uncertainty.
Nature doesn't like a vacuum.
There's something with uncertainty. Okay, anyway, I said the Torah probably that's the answer. That is the last resort. I don't know, so I'll just be frum and I won't do it. Which is really what Sofek D'oraisa L'chumra is telling me. The Torah, anything but that. Because you don't want to have uncertainty. I said it's a very good question. Really, it was a tremendous question. It showed such understanding of everything we've been learning. And I think the answer might be right, that the answer is philosophical, not technical. The answer is a philosophical answer, that to do things with uncertainty is last resort. The Torah doesn't want to do, even if you'll end up being, you can always play it safe. I mean, why do we say Safek Drabanan L'Kula? You could say Safek Drabanan L'Chumra too, and be very from. Right? You could always be Machmir, which sometimes it seems that's what we're doing. That's a subject in itself. We'll talk about that one day. Sometimes it seems, well, certainly in the last, since post-Holocaust, that's really the trend in Jewish life is, yeah, just be machmir, because we have it, you can buy that kechsher, buy that piece of meat, get that lulav, get that mezuzah, because Hashem has blessed us with such a shefa of money to most of us, you know, and tefillin and mezuzah, and you know, so you bake a little more and you take challah with a bracha. the world, the Jewish halachic world, has really shifted into just be machmir. That's a different rant, okay? But getting back to my answer to the person's question, and I now I'm learning this Chavis HaLavis, I'm like astounded. That he says that's one of the major weapons in the Yetzer Hara's arsenal is to make you unsure, unclear. So you say, well, I wonder if it makes me unclear, so I'll be machmir. No, it's a very dangerous situation, and he calls it one of the main weapons is to make you lack clarity, to make you be besafek. Maybe, maybe not, you know, maybe I shouldn't, maybe it's not worth it, maybe it's not necessary, maybe it's not worth it. That's how he gets his foot in the door. And I'm saying, don't get scared, don't run away. People have sfeikos. What I mean is, don't be scared, is take care of it. No, don't say, I'm a failure, I'm a supik, I wasted the last 3 years of my life, if I could now doubt what I'm doing. No, it's not true. People are thinking, people, they think, maybe, and maybe it is the Yetzer Hara. So just get clarity again. That's the trick, is to get clarity again, not to remain with the suffix. Because if you remain with the suffix, he'll say, so there's like a vadai enjoyment that's waiting for you. And it's probably kosher, you know, it's probably okay. Or you probably don't have to be charedi, which is maybe true anyway, but that's not for now a discussion. What do you, you know, you chose a certain lifestyle, and look, there's so many people out there that are not living that way, and you know, and these are normal thoughts, and we have these thoughts, and the media and people that are not supportive of a certain way of life always throw these things at us, and sometimes they have a point. Sometimes they have a point, so you have to attain clarity, and sometimes it's like, I'm going to throw out things. I don't want to get into these discussions. Like, why don't Chayim go to the army? And why do people, you know, why taka? So attain clarity. That's the trick. The trick is, don't let the Yetzer Hara throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, so it's all... It's like if a scandal happens in the kashrus world, right? So some people... some people definitely react... they're all fakers, and I'm going to go back to eating rabbanut, which I happen to hold. I doubt it's a secret. I happen to hold, it's a hechsher, but I hold it's a low quality one. It's low quality. It's like going into an airplane that, okay, I'm taking a chance. Right? You want a good airplane. You don't want an airplane that's shaky. So it's a hechsher, and it's chas v'shalom, it's a hechsher, and it's maybe probably a wonderful thing when 80 to 90% of Klal Yisrael are not from, to have a minimal level of kashrus. It's probably a terrific thing, a wonderful thing, but don't ask me to embrace it. And then a scandal happens, and they, you know, the scandal that just happened in Paris's place, I don't know if it could have happened to any hechsher, because I don't know what happened there. It's like someone was asleep at the switch. But things happen by every hechsher. Let's not... Okay, so you don't know. They served treif. Paris made a Yom HaTzmaut party, and the caterer brought in treif of food, because the kosher food spoiled. And the mashgiach was asleep at the switch. and the Hechsher was asleep at the switch. How did it get through? They got meat from the Arabs. But I'm not saying that would have happened by Bedat, say the Haredis. Maybe that wouldn't have happened, but things happen. By every Hechsher, things happen.
They had that whole thing in Muncie. That was a pretty high Hechsher.
Well, that was a private Hechsher, but it was of a very respected Rav whose life, I mean, my heart goes out to him. But he was asleep at the switcher shtickle. I mean, you know, so things happened. The Bedatz once caught a pizza store that had branches, and one branch was Chol of Yisrael, and it was Eidah Haredis, and then they saw that when they caught them, but it went on for a few weeks, that when they got overloaded with orders, they switched the phone to the branch. So you're ordering a pizza delivery, you're calling the branch with Chol of Yisrael. The phone was transferred to the other branch with not Chol of Yisrael, and they made the delivery from there. And they caught them. Okay, but they caught them. They caught them. But it went on. Things happened by Hechsherim. Let's get back to the point. The point is that there are people out there, and they usually write blogs. And they are, oh, you see, it's not worth anything, so I might as well eat the lowest quality Hechsher, because what's the difference as long as someone says it's kosher? Because that's called Safek. That's the Yetzirah. So get clarity. See if it's a good Hechsher, and things happen, and you can't always be everywhere. Or maybe, indeed, a flaw. You see a flaw. And maybe you're not going to use that Hechsher anymore because you don't trust it anymore because it was an avoidable flaw. Get clarity. Don't just... That's exactly what he's talking about. You're masupik. Why don't they... So they're all fakers. They just caught another scandal. How do I know all the scandals? Maybe I shouldn't tell it to you. You women are so innocent. They just caught again with yeshivas, with the toad, with getting money, with not, you know, they're just the whole thing, you know. So you say, they're all fakers. No, they're not all fakers. They're not all fakers. A lot of people are sitting and learning, and, you know what they get from the government? They get 800 shekel a month. You can't buy diapers for 800 shekel a month. I mean, if you have two kids and diapers, you already broke the budget. I mean, 800 shekel a month, it's such a joke that, but that's all they care, that's all the newspapers are full of, that's all. They're giving the whole money of the Medina is going to these guys sitting, and they're not even sitting and learning. 800 shekel a month.
Yeah, but they made it through
all the shame. Oh, no, I'm not minimizing what happened. I'm just saying that the whole thing is so, to make, anyway, that's called lack of clarity. That's the Yetzirah. So get clarity, and that's how you fight back, what he's saying now. But again, it's interesting that he says one of the most powerful weapons in his arsenal is to make you not clear. Make you not clear about your goals, make you not clear about your principles, make you not clear about this. And I'm adding, don't be afraid to have doubts in the sense of it's all over. Normal thinking people have doubts, so just make sure you don't sit with your doubts, because then it festers, and then the Yetzer Hara has his foot in the door. Even if it's the Yetzer Hara, so think of it as a guy raising his hand and saying, but maybe it's not true. So you could, again, there's two answers. If he just says, but maybe it's not true, then I would answer that guy, I don't accept that, I reject that, and if you want to come back to me and tell me a rational, intelligent taina, and then I can deal with it, but I taka can deal with, but maybe it's not like that. Or if Itaka says something, so clarify, and maybe he's right, maybe it's a good point. And then you can attain deeper clarity because of this question someone raised, like this question the person raised in Shir. Right, I could have called him an apikiris. Like, why does the Torah do that? Chutzpah to ask such a question. But now, because I took the question and I loved the question and we dealt with the question and we gave an answer, so now we have clarity on a deeper level of like how the Torah or Hashem sees the world, and now I have a raya to a certain thing in chemistry, which I don't even know if it's true or not. But isn't there something called the uncertainty principle? Okay.
That's Haredi education.
What? I went to Philadelphia Yeshiva. I graduated with a cap and gown on my head. Graduated high school with a cap and gown. Philadelphia Yeshiva.
That
Rav Kamenetsky.
And they
have
a cap and gown at their graduation?
We, everybody, all Philadelphia graduating classes have caps and gowns. And we took the Regents. No, we didn't take the Regents. We were in Philadelphia. There were no Regents. Adirah, but that's why we went to Philadelphia Yeshiva. Only New York State had Regents. Okay. Ula Shabesh Mashin is Barlacha, Ula Arbeves Nafshechan to mix you up. The Machshavos Kzovim, the Taino Shkorim. Yatrid Oscha, he'll drive you nuts, Mito Alu Secha, from doing things that are beneficial for you. The Yasapek Alecha, he will try to instill doubt. Mashin is Barlacha. What you've attained clarity already, me'emunoscha, your faith, how you view Hashem, how you see Hashem, how you understand the dosecha, right? So, if it's just he's raising his hand and saying, but maybe not, then you should reject it. If a rational doubt enters your mind, then embrace it. Embrace it as a spur to attain more clarity. If someone says, like, you know, why are you davening for? Hashem's going to do anyway what he's going to do. So, that's a good question. Let me ask, let me explore, let me read, let me learn. And now you'll attain clarity about davening on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to the first, and you see the question, and you say, thank you. Thank you for raising the doubt, and now but the Yetzer Hara wants you to sit with the doubt. And it's the most powerful weapon in the arsenal. If it's the guy raising his hand saying maybe not, then you can't answer it. So if you let it make you doubtful, it's bad, because there's no answer to that. Maybe not, maybe, you know. And if you just leave with the doubt, so then he's able to get you to do things, because, you know, it's not worth it to give up so much if you're not even that sure that what you're doing, that what you've chosen to do, what you're doing is a good idea, is truth. So you should give up so much for truth. Now, soon we're going to learn, in the coming weeks, that you're not giving up anything, that it's a joke. Because he's not giving you anything. He's giving you smoke and mirrors. He's giving you fleeting pleasures that last a few moments. So that's another angle of learning about the Yetzer Hara. Okay.